Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Carey with the NFL Talking Heads.
And Seth Lal.
And this is our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Series. 12 episodes to get you through your fantasy football draft.
We hope everybody enjoys this as you begin to binge through the 12 episodes. Keep in mind, if we sound tired, if we sound a little bit off here and there, it's probably because we did over, 12 hours of recording in 2 days.
We had a blast, though, so we hope this is helpful for you, and we hope you enjoy it as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to announce the greatest fantasy football draft series, Sleepers, Bust, Quarterback Strategy, Bench Strategy, and How to Talk Smack During Your Drafts. Last year is history. We're on to the 2018 season. It's championship or bust. Who's with us? Sit back, listen closely, and get ready to win your fantasy league.
Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lal.
Welcome, everyone, to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show, and you are listening to Episode 1 of our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Series Special. That is right. We're going to be taking you step by step, hand in hand, all the way through everything you need to know about the fantasy football drafts. We gave you a little bit of sneak peek on the previous episode. We'll be talking about players to target, players to avoid, rookies, 30-year-olds, quarterback strategies, tight end strategies, new wide receiver, running back, combo handcuffs, same player, different rounds, a bunch more. Seth, I'm excited to kick this off. We think that this is going to be really helpful for a lot of people. And I can't wait to see what the end product looks like.
Yeah, it's definitely a new way to kind of kick off the season. So I'm pumped about it. And I think our listeners will enjoy the approach we're taking, kind of hammering out a bunch of the different aspects of fantasy football and prepping for your fantasy draft. And we don't want anything to fall through the cracks. We want to make sure we take it step by step. We got 10 episodes here. People can binge it. So let's get it going.
Yeah, we might actually have a few more than 10. So we're depending on how we break these up. They're going to be anywhere from 10 to all the way up to 14, actually. The first one is draft strategy. What is your draft strategy, and then what are some misconceptions to avoid? Some common cliches and et cetera. So let's kind of start by diving into, Seth, the strategy that we feel pretty confident about. Just as a reminder to everyone, we're going to be talking strictly PPR leagues through this entire draft series special. Only PPR leagues, and we'll be referring to ADPs in the 12-man leagues. We figured that was probably the best to use that as a baseline. So, Seth, kick us off. We have a very specific, more so than other years, area in the first round that we want to be in, and that kicks off our first part to the draft strategy.
Yeah, and there's going to be a few things that we disagree on, but I think we're on the same page with a lot of this stuff, including where we want to be picking. And you and I have talked a lot about this, because in one of our leagues, we can actually, everybody pick, puts in their order of picks they want to pick in, and then you draw out of a hat. So sometimes if you want to be picking six, for example, that'll be your first choice, and so on. We believe that the range that you want to be in, that you want to be picking in the first round, is picks 4 through 7. All right, we talked about maybe 3 through 7, right? I think 4 through 7 is what we settled on, because you have Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to be the top three, right? Almost, and we've done a lot of best ball drafts to this point, a lot of mock drafts. That's pretty consistent. So we both like these four players that are going right after the big three running backs: David Johnson, Antonio Brown, Alvin Kamara, and Saquon Barkley. You have three workhorse stud running backs. There's things to like about each one of them. And Antonio Brown, the guy who apparently is getting overlooked this year. I've seen him go as low as 7 or 8 in drafts. He's only the perennial, number one fantasy wide receiver, 100-plus catch machine, plays on one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL. So we are very happy with any of those four players. And the reason that we like that range, 4 through 7, is it sets us up and puts us in a position to get a better second-round player. And we're going to talk a little bit about the second round in a little bit. This is one of the most loaded second rounds I can remember. And the first half of the second round, up until maybe the last 2 or 3 picks, is where we want to be. So anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, essentially the idea here is that the top 3 or 4 picks are very similar to the 1 overall pick. You know, not a lot of years you could say that. You know, there's not a gigantic difference between David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, the consensus 104 and the consensus 101. Then as you move further down from 4, David Johnson, to right now Saquon Barkley at 107, and of course some of these numbers are going to change, but I feel pretty confident that even through preseason, and I'm actually glad that we're recording this entire thing before we get really influenced by a lot of garbage time preseason games. Of course, we're going to have updates, a couple updates afterwards, just through injuries and whatnot. We already know that Darius Geis is actually out for the season, unfortunately. But all the way to pick number 7, Saquon Barkley, that big drop-off of Barkley to David Johnson is also not very huge, where, to your point, the return you're getting in the second round this year is phenomenal, and normally this is first-round talent. And that's why we've decided that we don't want to be early. And after Saquon Barkley, you start getting into – you could easily make an argument for DeAndre Hopkins being right there too, which we're okay with. We want to get that really, really good stud guy on the way back. And if you have a top 1, 2, or 3 pick, there's a line that we feel that is cut off right around pick 17. And so explain that, Seth, in terms of if you have one of those picks 4 through 7, who are your worst case scenario options that you're guaranteed to have in the second round?
Yeah, so you know, if you have – so worst case scenario, right? So if you're picking 4th, if you have – so we talked about pick 4 through 7. If you have pick 4th, what is that, pick 17?
No, 4th is – if you had pick 7, it's 17.
So if you had pick 7 at 17, you're looking at Christian McCaffrey. So the part of the second round that we like is you have Christian McCaffrey, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Dalvin Cook, you know, Kareem Hunt, Fournette. One of them might drop. But you're looking at the Christian McCaffrey, Devontae Adams, AJ Green in a 12 person league.
Yep, and pick 4 would be pick 20 up to AJ Green. To your point.
Yeah, so you know you have the Devontae Freeman in there who you know we aren't as high on, but you have AJ Green who you know most years is right around a first round caliber player. Devontae Adams, back-to-back years with double-digit touchdowns, the number one receiver in Green Bay. Can't go wrong with him. Christian McCaffrey, you know, and ideally, you know, you if in a 10-team league, you'd have a very good chance to get a Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, Julio. But we've seen drafts where Julio drops or Keenan Allen or Michael Thomas. So you have the luxury of maybe grabbing one of them if they're dropped. But at the worst-case scenario, you're grabbing Christian McCaffrey or Devontae Adams or A.J. Green.
Yep, and so we were kind of bouncing this back and forth, Seth. Would you rather have David Johnson and, say, Devontae Adams / A.J. Green, whoever's kind of left there for you, or would you rather have Saquon and who was a name we threw out?
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
And I said I'd rather have Saquon and Keenan Allen. I just think... And Saquon's a rookie, I get it, but we've seen a lot of rookies come in just guns blazing. Alvin Kamara, for me, look at last year, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing yards. So I don't see a bigger drop off. I think the drop off between Saquon Barkley and any of the other running backs in the first round is not as big as the drop off between a Keenan Allen and even somebody like a Devontae Adams, AJ Green.
Yep, and I actually lean towards the David Johnson and Devontae Adams / AJ Green, personally. I just wanted that a little bit better running back that I was a little bit more sure of. And we've discussed, too, that I would even consider number three just so I could get Zeke because I like Zeke so much this year. But you also have some players that are sitting outside this top 2021 that could easily filter in because their ADPs are going up and they have been selected inside the top 20 on a lot of drafts that we've done. That it's including Rob Gronkowski. You know, he's not included before here. If he goes, then someone else has got to drop to you. Jerick McKinnon is rising up a lot of fantasy boards. If he goes, then someone else is going to drop to you. So there's also a lot of other opportunity to have even a bigger surprise. You know, maybe a Christian McCaffrey can drop to you if you have David Johnson. Christian McCaffrey is another option if you have Saquon Barkley on your turn on in the second round. There are just so many good options in the first two rounds. I wish I could get 4 or 5 second round picks. It seems like they're going to be all no-brainer picks for the most part. You can't screw up your first two rounds.
Yeah, and like I said, most years, the number one, two picks are just head and shoulders above everybody else. That you're like, I want to lock that. I want to get that player on my team. I'll take anybody in the second round. Whereas this year, the big three running backs, Zeke, Le'Veon Bell, and Gurley, they're just, to me, they're just not head and shoulders above Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, to the point where I'd rather have a crack at one of those Keenan Allen, Julio, Michael Thomas, Devonta Adams, McCaffrey, rather than getting stuck in the situation where, you know, I'm choosing between Jerick McKinnon, reaching on him, Jordan Howard, who's not very sexy, you know, reaching maybe for Gronkowski at that point, which might not be a reach in some people's minds. You know, that's the situation I don't want to find myself in. I want to be grabbing one of those players that on a normal year would be hovering right around the first round.
Yep. Okay, so that's our strategy for, you know, if you get to choose your pick, your spot in your draft, 4 through 7 is what we feel is a very ideal spot. And of course, a lot of people, you keep saying top three running backs, a lot of people really put David Johnson in that category too. So really you have a top four running back mm-hmm. scenario, and you're willing to take either one of those four, whoever lands to you. So that's a very popular starting spot. And then you have the second round. Okay, what is the next part of the strategy and the draft that we want to talk about?
Yeah, well, when it comes to the first two rounds, it's really all about getting the best possible players that you can get with the highest upside, but that are also very safe, because you don't want to miss. You can't afford to miss with one of your first two picks, right, in the first two rounds. So when it comes to the third round, you know, that's when you really have to start thinking about making smart picks, taking the points, as we always say, and grab players that are going to complement your first two picks. You know, we don't necessarily look to draft based on position. We're always, you know, advocates for the best available player approach, especially that early in the draft. But if you end up with back-to-back wide receivers, you know, let's say you get Antonio Brown in the first and then you get a Devonta Adams or somebody in the second round, then maybe you look to take a swing at a Jerick McKinnon or best available running back. But otherwise, we're going best available player in the third round. Anything that you want to add on that?
Yeah,
it's going to vary, obviously, based on 10-team and 12-team leagues, what we're looking at as far as players available in the third round.
Yeah, there's a couple players that are in the second round, like a McKinnon, that's just a lot less of a sure thing, and he kind of draws that line for us in the second round. Like, we still want to get as best of a sure thing as we can the first two rounds, to your point. And then just start making smarter decisions. The third round is also when we start considering a potential tight end, third/fourth. So what we've seen on our teams a lot is we try and grab the stud running back in the first round. And then rounds 2, 3, and 4 are basically wide receivers and potentially a stud tight end. The other thing to consider when you're starting, if you can select your draft spot, the later in the first round, the better chance you can get at getting a stud tight end. What I mean by that is typically Kelce is going, or where we want to get Kelce is late third, and that's kind of where he's going. And then you have the early fourth round pick for Zach Ertz. If you have a early first rounder and you have a late second, early third, your only choice there is Gronk. And we really don't want to take Gronk there. There's still a lot of other people. So that's the other benefit I feel like with grabbing a pick 7 is that gives us the first crack at getting Kelce in the third round. So you get stud, and then I can get my stud tight end. Or if you want, you can look at Ertz in the early fourth. But that's one of the other things that is kind of a trickle-down effect when you're selecting your draft position in the first round.
And I've been finding with all the best ball drafts that we've been doing, I've been finding that I've been passing on Kelce for a Stephon Diggs or a, you know, Adam Thielen or Tyreek Hill. And I almost regret it every single time when I look back at my team because I'm always struggling to fill the tight end void. And I'm usually inserting a bum in there because I wait till the late rounds. And it's just not worth it. When you look back, Travis Kelce's kind of being sandwiched in between the Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen duo. They're going right ahead of him. And then behind him, you got the Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper. You can make a case for maybe Stephon Diggs or Thielen, but I just don't think it's worth it. If you can get Travis Kelce, even if it means reaching and taking him a couple picks earlier than you think you should in the third round, it's worth grabbing him because he is very comparable to a lot of the receivers that are going in that round, and it helps you solidify the tight end position, which is going to be a nagging issue if you pass on Kelce.
Yep, and we'll talk more about that once we get to our episode that talks specifically about tight end strategy in depth. So that's a little bit about the third and the fourth round, Seth. Then, you know, we have a section of a few rounds where we actually don't like the wide receivers.
Correct. And I was looking at this, you know, we isolated a few rounds in which there's a run on very average, overrated wide receivers. And that round is 6 to 8. So round 6, 7, and 8. And I'm just going to read off, and there's a couple examples of receivers that we do like, which we'll talk about in later episodes. But for the most part, in general, you know, this is right after the Chris Hogan and Marvin Jones round out the round 5. We're looking at, and I'll read off some of these wide receivers that are going round 6, 7, and 8. Michael Crabtree, Sammy Watkins, Will Fuller, Emmanuel Sanders, Randall Cobb, Pierre Garçon, Jamison Crowder, Devin Funchess, Marquise Goodwin, Jordy Nelson. So a lot of very average receivers that we're not very high on. We'll be talking about some of them in our later episodes. But our strategy is to, and the reason we point this out is to just realize it's very important when you're doing drafts to not reach on players or worry about positions, because you always want to keep in mind who's still out there, who's going to be sitting there waiting for you in later rounds. If you know and you understand that round 6, 7, and 8 are just going to be full of very average receivers that you shouldn't be wasting your time with, let other people grab them in those rounds. You know ADPs don't lie. Now, they're not all. Some of these receivers might go a little earlier. Some of them might go later. But in general, this is going to hold pretty close to form. So round 6, 7, and 8 is where we find a lot of pretty solid running back buys while other people are grabbing these wide receivers.
Yep. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. That's why we love grabbing the stud running back in the first round. So you have that taken care of. Start focusing on stud wide receivers, because there's so many running backs going in the first round. There's a plethora of wide receivers that are studs in the second round. Even in the third round, you can feel really confident about them. So start grabbing them in the second, third, maybe one trickles in the fourth, something along those lines. And that way, when it comes to round 6, 7, and 8, you don't have to worry about the receivers necessarily. There are obviously a few exceptions that we do like that we're going to talk about in future episodes. But overall, that's a strategy. Another thing, Seth, I wanted to bring up was our sponsor for this episode. We are sponsored by Draft, the app. Once again, Draft is sponsoring the NFL Talking Heads. Always glad to have them on board. We have been using their platform for years now, since they reached out to us several years ago. And we're always on there doing best ball drafts. Seth, you keep on referring to all the best ball drafts that we've done. And every single one that we've done has been on Draft, the app. Nothing has been easier. We've actually been able to get a bunch of other people hooked on drafts. And if you're not familiar with best ball drafts, all you have to do is draft it, and that's it. No in-season management. I have a friend who, you know, there's probably a lot of you out there listening who hates the in-season management. You love getting with your friends. You love doing the draft. You get together, very social. Next thing you know, you have a 17-week grind of changes and trades and waiver pickups, and it's just too much work. Best Ball Drafts does all the work for you. It's set it and forget it. And the draft app allows you to use it. It's never been easier. Seth, how many Best Ball Drafts would you say you've already done on the Drafty app?
I'd say like 5 to 10. It's so addicting, and it's ridiculously easy. I just go into the app, deposit it from PayPal right into my draft account. Go find, they have leagues every single night to join. You join a league. Once it's full, it starts automatically, and it actually fills pretty quickly, which is my pet peeve with some other sites, is they don't fill up. Draft always fills up because everybody is on draft doing these best ball leagues. They're super popular. So they fill up, and boom, you're into the draft. Like you said, the best part of fantasy, really, let's face it, is the draft. I mean, the rest is good too, but one thing everyone can agree on is that the draft is the best, most exciting part of fantasy football, and that's what you get when you join best ball leagues.
Yep, and I know I've already got a couple leagues that I got a Darius Geis exposure to. Yep. In best ball leagues. That's only natural. As soon as I speak someone's word, name, should I say, as soon as I say their name, they're either cut, hurt, or banished from this earth. I don't know. But luckily not too much exposure from Darius Geis, but I'm looking forward to hopefully another successful season on Draft the App. You guys can check them out online or in your favorite app store, Draft the App. Seth, another thing that we want to preach is about generally, you know, this is more about like overarching ideas and strategies that you want to implement. And one of them is, for the most part, staying away from rookies. Last year, we had a lot of rookies that were really good, but specifically for wide receivers, last year's running back class was much more of an anomaly, an exception, not the rule. So just, you know, don't get super high pumped up on the rookies this year, because typically that's not the type of performance and return that we get.
Yeah, I would agree. The one thing that I will say, though, is I do think that a lot of these rookies, you know, you can carry out, like, there are a lot of rookies that are in line to, if not be the starter week one, have a very good chance to start, you know, at some point early in the season. We look at Rashard Penny in Seattle, Kerryon Johnson in Detroit, Sonny Michel in New England. You know, there's just a lot of, you know, Nick Chubb has a good chance to overtake Carlos Hyde in Cleveland. And you're getting these running backs at a pretty good bargain. You know, starting with Rashard Penny is going late in the fifth round. Sonny Michel, Kerryon Johnson, to this point, are going in the sixth round, late sixth round. If they weren't rookies, they're going much higher. And yes, I agree that they're probably not. There's not going to be too many more years when you have Alvin Kamara doing what he did, Kareem Hunt doing what he did, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, and so on. Yep. But that's kind of baked into the value. You're getting them at a discount because they're rookies. So it's very hard to get starting caliber running backs with upside. I mean, when you look in these rounds, you have players that haven't done anything that are a little bit older, like Isaiah Crowell. You can get him. You can get Carlos Hyde or a Chris Thompson, C.J. Anderson. They're going in the same area as some of these rookies like Kerryon Johnson, who have a lot more upside. And their floor is generally the same, because they're going to be in line to get a lot of carries. So it's also a great opportunity to take advantage of the fact that these guys are rookies, because this is the only time you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and this one is, we disagree, I think, a little bit more so, because you're naming a few players, and we're going to talk about rookies here, so we're not going to dive too deep into this. But, you know, I don't know if I can agree with the fact that because they're rookies and there's a little bit of an unknown, that they're ADP is baked in. I think it's the exact opposite. It's inflated a bit. So wide receivers, I'm going to at least preach probably a little bit more so than Seth, but at least for wide receiver rookies, none of them are going super early, but generally, you know, if you want to get one, you're not going to get a bunch. Another thing, Seth, is not to worry about handcuffs, right? That's a long time kind of adage, cliche, whatever. If you get this running back, go get his handcuff. Something that, you know, me and you have never really felt strongly about.
Agreed. And I think, because number one, you waste a roster spot. I mean, how many times, and I've been there in the past, and I've learned the hard way, where I draft a running back, whether it's Le'Veon Bell or Zeke or, you know, whoever it is, And then I'm like, okay, you know, I need to grab the backup running back, the handcuff. You stash him on your bench. It just burns a hole in your bench. It prevents you from being able to be more nimble and make more in-season pickups because you're holding on to this player that you think you need to have. When in reality, it's like just forget about it. Just don't worry about the injuries. You don't have to overthink it, you know. And I think that when it comes to handcuffs, and we're going to talk about this in a different episode when we talk about our combo running back strategy, but the only situation that I'm really okay with handcuffs is if the player that you're drafting as a quote unquote handcuff can also be used in the lineup at the same time as the starter. For example, you have Rex Burkhead and Sonny Michel, right? You could start those two at the same time if you had to. Tevin Coleman, Freeman's another example. That's fine. I don't consider that a handcuff. I don't consider Tevin Coleman a pure handcuff because he's a good flex play if you're in a pinch, right? And then you also have the bonus of, if anything happens to Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman's a stud. But the days of the, you know, cut and dry handcuff, the James Conners of the world in Pittsburgh, the players that are only useful if the starter goes down with an injury, to me, those days are over. I think it's just silly to be drafting players. Bench spots, and we're going to talk about our bench strategy too. Bench spots are so crucial in fantasy. You want every single bench spot to be working for you.
All right. I think that covers mostly everything in terms of a general draft idea strategy as you head into the draft. There's a lot of pieces and areas for us to dive deeper into. Seth, did I miss anything that you want to kind of mention as well?
I am going to push back a little bit on your rookie comment because
can we save this for the rookie episode? You got to add this in right now?
It's relevant to what we're talking about because you said that you think it's inflated because they're rookies. So let's look back to 2017. Going into last season, when you look at, and I'm going to look at a few players here, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook were both third-round players, right? Both third-round players. This year, let's look at Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette. They're second-round players. Leonard Fournette's a borderline first-round player. Dalvin Cook's early second. Almost every rookie running back last year, this year, their ADP goes up, right? And a lot of that is due to production in the years that they had. But because that they're unproven, their ADP is going to be lower. Once they go out and prove it, their ADP is going to climb. So I just think in most cases, and that might not work to the advantage this year if these players don't go out and perform. But last year we saw if you went out and drafted Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette, you got a good return on your investment based on where they're going this year.
Yeah, those running backs coming out were studs. I mean, Leonard Fournette was the top five pick. Christian McCaffrey was the eighth overall pick. Dalvin Cook was a first round pick. My point is this: the quality of running backs is not the same as last year. And the reason why I say they're inflated is because there is that unknown. There is that quote unquote upside. But you're going back only to 2017. We should go back to a different year, even further back where there was rookies. I didn't get a chance to actually do research on that, but
yeah, but it cuts. And the last thing I'll say is it cuts both ways. If you look at Rashard Penny, who his ADP is towards the end of the fifth round, early sixth round, like, you can't tell me that he doesn't have potential to go out, have a really good year with the touches he might be in line to get. And next year, he's at the very least a top three round running back. So obviously they have to go and perform. And he was a first round running back in this year's NFL draft. So I get what you're saying. It's not like comparing apples to apples because the running back quality isn't as high as it was last year. But I do think that's why you have to approach it on a case by case basis. But
look at nimble me here. I'm just looking up some older ADPs. I'm forgetting when certain people actually came out or the following year when they were good. But I'm pretty sure in 2015 when Amir Abdullah was a rookie, he was going 4.06. That's a bust right there. And that's my point. Yep. There's a lot of those scenarios. So
you still have to draft the right player. You don't just say, hey, I'm going to draft all rookies because they're all coming in. No, they have to go out there and perform. But if they do perform, I mean, starting running backs are so valuable. If Rashard Penny goes out and performs, he's not going in the fifth round next year. Same thing with Sonny Michel. Same thing with Kerryon Johnson. The list goes on and on. And it's not like these were taking it in the fifth or sixth round of the NFL draft. These are running backs that were going in the first three rounds. So we'll see. But I do think that you have to approach every player on a case-by-case basis. And there's always going to be the Amir Abdullahs of the world.
There's going to be a lot of Amir Abdullahs. That same year, they had TJ Yeldon, who also did nothing. So I think you have to take it in a case-by-case scenario because not every running back is the same. But more often than not, and unfortunately, we don't even have Darius Geis to put in this pool. But
yep.
We talked about ideal spots, picks 4 through 7. You want to always have the mindset of give me the points more often than not. There's always exceptions to everything. Rookies, be careful. Let's just leave it at that. Poor wide receiver rounds, 6 through 8. And don't worry about the handcuffs. That's the draft strategy. And hope everyone enjoyed that. And we will be back for part 2 of the Fantasy Football Draft Special Series.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.